Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming in person and on Zoom. We're carrying on the shiur from last week about Chizkat Nezikim et Hashmishin. But before I'd like to present a few questions that we will, Bezrat Hashem, see in the course of today's shiur. I think you could call this shiur my experience living in Ramot, because all these things happened to me this past year. As I said, except the last one, which is partially true. But the first question, these are different names in Penchley. These are not Friedman's and Moskowitz's, but this actually was a story that happened mamish right before we moved here to Toronto, that the Friedman family decided to install a new air conditioner system in their apartment. It's not only that they did that, but usually you have a designated place to put the engine of the AC, of the air conditioner. Instead, they said, why do we need to put the engine over there? Let's expand our apartment to that room, and then the air conditioner will be on the, we will connect it to the wall of the building. And by that, we'll have a larger room where it was supposed to be hidden, what's called the misto. And we'll instead we'll have the engine outside. And because, and now it happened to be that they did it, and they lived two floors above the family that had the nicest garden in our building. Mamish, they invested a lot of money in it. It was a beautiful, beautiful garden. Mamish, every year in the month of Nisan, they said, come to our garden and say a bracha on the fruits who are growing. That was the place to say the bracha. I was also close. Our apartment was kind of close. We could have seen their garden. So during COVID, when I was afraid to leave the house and didn't have a garden to see the brachas, I saw the brachas on their garden, looking for my yard, and that's what happened. And they claimed that because of the engine which was above them, so now it was a comfortable place for the pigeons to sit down there and do what they do and filthy and dirty their garden. So do they have a claim? Let's see. Story number two, this is another thing that happened in our building, especially with elevators. In Yerushalayim, it's very common to see that since the buildings are built on mountains, so I, for instance, lived on the fourth floor, but when I came from Harry Truman Street, I had to go one flight down. Because from Harry Truman Street, I was a bit down, and from the street called Yaakov Elazar, so I had to go up. So I was like the fifth floor from the bottom, because it was starting from minus one. And then I got to number four. If I wanted to get up to Truman Street, I had to go to floor number five. Again, it's like it's a mountain, and it's built on two different streets. So in the beginning, I lived in a relatively new part of Ramot, and we were the first building to be there on the Truman Street. And then guys from Yaakov Elazar started coming. And they didn't have a clear path to go all the way down to their street. They had to make a huge circle and go from there. It was a very long hassle to go from Harry Truman Street to their street. So what did they do? They wanted to go through our stairs. Not only through our stairs, but also through our elevator. And when more and more buildings were getting built, so more and more people wanted to do that. So eventually we decided to lock the doors of our building, and we placed a big sign that you may not enter, and also near the elevator, if you're using our elevator with their permission, it's both gezel and it's also against the law. Do you think it helped? It did not help. People kept on coming and using our elevator. Once one of the more important neighbors in our building was very upset that he wanted he was coming in with his groceries, and someone was using the elevator, and he saw that he's coming, so he didn't want him to protest against him. So he immediately closed the elevator, and he was stuck there with all his groceries. And this guy who doesn't live here used the elevator. So another incident. He saw the same guy using the elevator, so he went to the control system of the elevator and shut down the elevator when he was locked inside. He kept them there inside for a few minutes, and he said to him, next time you're doing that again, you're going to be locked for 30 minutes. I said to him, I think you're a bit exaggerating, but he told the story about the groceries, I don't know. So do they have a certain right using the elevator? And question number three, partially true story, the men's were having barbecues on a regular basis. That is the true part of the question. I think Idan Rakowski is not here, and Chaim could tell you about the barbecues that they had in the barbecue that they had in our house in Israel. That was one of the hard things to move to Toronto, to leave my good grill back in Israel. But let's say some of the neighbors weren't really happy about it. Can the neighbors protest and ask to stop the barbecues? I think we actually discussed in one of the previous shirim. Maybe we'll see it again now. Okay, so before we delve into these questions, let's just do a short summary of last week's here and try to answer the question of the brother of the Ktsot. So we started learning last week about Chizkat Nezikin and Chizkat Hashmishin, that you're not allowed to do certain things. You're not allowed to do things in your property and by that harming your neighbor. And you can't use the property of your neighbor. But if you do so after a certain time and under certain circumstances, so in that case, you get some kind of chazakah. You obtain some kind of right to carry on doing these things. So we explored last week, is this similar, chizkat nezikim, like chizkat kalkaot, that when a person buys a land and he claims that the land is his, so he has to say two things. First of all, why is it yours? I bought it from you, I got it as a present, you have to give a taina, and also you have to have 3 years. And we explored, you have to have also taina in 3 years. In our case of chizkat nezikim and chizkat hashmishin, we had four opinions. The two major opinions are the opinions of the Ramban, as opposed to what's called the Geonim, they're the Geonim. The Ramban and Ramban, opposed to the Rosh, according to Ramban and Ramban, that a person can obtain a Chazakah, Cheskas Hazikin, Cheskas Hashmishin, without a Taina, and without 3 years. You just saw me do it once, in that case, you have a Chazakah. As opposed to the Rosh, he says, no, it's exactly like Cheskas Kalkaot, and you have to have a Taina. Why is it yours? And also you have to be there for 3 years, and by that you will obtain the chazakah. And allegedly, it seems that there are, in contradiction, whether chazakah nezikin has to have a kinyan, you have to actually buy something, or a mechila is enough. But we said that is not true, because the Ksuda Choshen says it cannot be that you obtain some kind of right in the possession of another person by mechila. Mechila, it means that I forgive you about something that you owe me, and that this neighbor doesn't owe you anything, so you have to have some kind of form of kinyan. So we said that the Ksot had this chiddush saying that you have a kinyan, you could buy shimushim, you could buy rights to do certain things by this kinyan called kinyan tashmishin, like eating the fruits. That is a way of buying the shimush of the kalka, of the certain right in the land. You're not buying the land itself, own the right, and by that you indeed buy something. So if you use the wall of your neighbor and place there, let's say your ladder, so you could buy this use, this zchus, by doing this tashmish. You could buy tashmishin with the kinyan of tashmishin. You could buy certain usages by doing some kind of use on his property. That was the Ksot. Then we explored the Psak Halacha. What was the Halacha? Is it like the Rambam saying that it's without any taina and without 3 years? Or is the Halacha like the Rosh? Shulchan Aruch was very consistent saying that Halacha is like the Rambam, and he gave many, many examples saying that in this case, you just saw it, you were quiet, that's it, you have the Chazakah. You saw me take out the Ziz, you didn't say anything about it. I took out this bar from my property, and now it's in your air. You saw it. You didn't say anything. I have a chazakah. And we gave more and more examples last week. The Ramah, most of the times, used to mention, wait a second, but there's another opinion saying that you have to have a taina and 3 years. But in the end, in Siman Kuf Nun Hey, so they are discussing if a person, let's say, it did one of the things that he was supposed to distance, as we learned in Perek Shidiv Abatra, he was supposed to, let's say, distance his wall from his neighbor's wall, and he didn't do that. So Shulchan Aruch says that it is, if you see it, you're quiet, that's it, he has a chazakah. And the Ramah says, v'chein ra'ui lehorot. He doesn't say that the halacha is like the other opinion, that you have to have 3 years and a taina. And the achronim, the commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, wanted to know, what is the Ramah's opinion? So the Gra and the Taz say that, indeed, he all the time wanted to point out,
You should know there is this opinion of 3 years and a taina, but in the last halacha of Hilchas Shcheinim, the Rama is telling us, you know what is a chazaka? Like the Shulchan Aruch, the person obtains a chazaka not by a taina, not by 3 years. You see it, and he was quiet, and that's enough. That will be a way to the chazaka. He's machriya. He's telling you his final conclusion in the last halacha. That's the way that you obtain chazkas nezikin and chazkas tashmishin according to the Rama and the Shulchan Aruch. But both the Sma and Netivot HaMishpat, the Nesivis, so they both say that, no. If you look good in the words of the Rama, and you see when he says this and when he says that, so he actually distinguishes between Chizkat Nezikin to Chizkat Karkaot. And again, Chizkat Nezikin is that I'm doing something in my property, and that influences my neighbor's property. By that, says the Sma and the Nesivis and the Rama, it is enough just to have a mechila. Why? Because I'm not buying anything from my neighbor. I'm actually doing things in my property. I can do whatever I want. Oh, I might be harming you. So the mechila allows me, if he's mochel, on the mechila, so I can carry on doing these things. So that's why mechila will be enough in chizkat nezikin, because this is my property. I'm not taking anything away from you. I'm harming you from my property. But once you are mochel, once you forgive me, that is already enough. However, chizkat tashmishin, when I'm doing something in your property, I'm now putting walls, putting bars of wood on your wall, and I'm using your wall for all kind of tashmishin, for all kind of usages. So in that case, I'm actually taking something from you. In that case, I have to have a kinyan. It won't be enough just to have a mechila. I am actually buying something from you. In that case, you have to have a kinyan. You have to have 3 years and a taina. And he says that both Sma and Sibasai, if you look at the Ramah, he's very consistent that when it's regarding Chizkas Nezikin, it's mechila. When it's regarding Chizkas Tashmishin, then he points out maybe you have to have a kinyan because you're actually getting something from your neighbor. Okay. So we said that it could be that in Chizkat Nezikin, you don't have to have any kinyan. You just need him to forgive you for what you're doing him. You're harming him, and now the Mechila, he's forgiving you. So the Ktsos, and this is now back to our source sheet, he brings his brother that asks the question, wait a second, I'm allowing you to harm me. Yeah, you're building something in your property, you're building a pit, and now the pit is somehow harming my wall or my land, whatever it is, as we learned. So, okay, I'm allowing you now to do it, and now to do it, but any moment, I could say, no, enough is enough, I've had it, I don't want you to harm me anymore. And a person is allowed to stop someone from harming him, obviously, but he also brings a source from the sugya of krak suti vihipater. If I tell you, if you want, you could tear off my clothes, I don't care, and you won't be chayav, you'll be putter. If a person comes and does it, indeed, he's putter. However, every single moment, I can tell him, no, I changed my mind. Even if it's a second before he's tearing my clothes, I can change my mind. He's in the middle, stop, he has to stop. I could always tell him, please stop harming me. So in that case, he asks, why in our case, that you have a chezkas nezikin, which is allegedly a mechila, especially according to the Nesivis and the Sma. So I'm only forgiving you to do this. So I could change my mind every single second. I could say, oh, yeah, I was mochel the first part, the first damage. I was mochel the second damage, but I'm not mochel anymore. I'm not allowing you to harm me anymore whatsoever. So in that case, why is there a distinct called chazaka nezikin? Because once a person has a chazaka, there's no way back. He has a chazaka. Why is it that if indeed it's a chazaka, especially if it's by mechila, so in that case, how come I cannot stop? Let's just read the words. וקרק סותיר ויפטר אם עדיין לא עשה מוחה בעדו שלא לקרוא אב ודאי יכול למחות בעדו ואפילו אם כבר התחיל לקרוא מוחה בעדו שלא יקלקל יותר מחויב לשלם מה שקלקל אחר כך כיוון שאינו נותן לו את הבגד במתנה I'm not giving you my property as a gift I'm not giving you my clothes as a gift אלא מוחה לו על הנזקה I'm just forgiving this damage כי יכול למחות שלא לזיק יותר. And he says, I understand Chizkas Tashmishin because I actually bought something, bought the Tashmish, but Nizki Shchelim, I don't understand it. So I'll try to see, so let's see the answers that I brought here. Evan Ez, I think, already mentioned it last week. He says there's a simple chiluk, it's like a technical chiluk between the case of Krak Suti V'Pater as opposed to Chizkas Nezikin. But Krak Suti V'Pater, when I'm allowing you to tear my clothes, are you gaining anything? You're not getting anything. You're just harming me now. And you're allowed to do that, and you won't have to pay for the damages. But you're not getting anything from me. You're not getting anything. You're not getting any right or any clothes from me. You're just tearing up, off my clothes. That's it. You're not doing anything for your own self. You're just doing bad things for me. In that case, indeed, there isn't any chazaka. But in the case of chizkas shcheinim, I'm actually, if I'm allowing you to do this damage, I'm actually giving you something. I'm giving you an additional right in your property. Until now, you had your property, but you weren't allowed to do certain things. Now you can do these things in your property. You can now build a pool inside your yard. Before, it might have harmed you, but now you have a new pool. You got something. Ah, when you actually get something, you actually acquire it. So this is like Chezkas Tashmish, says Eben Ezer. Let's read his words. דבקרקסותי, אם היה לקורע איזה תועלת וזכות בזה, והחזיק בקסותו לקרוע, על פי דיבורו, ודאי לא יכול לחזור כי כבר זכה. If he had some kind of right, some kind of תועלה, something that he got, some kind of benefit, okay, he got it, he was זוכה, this thing. ורק בקרקסותי לא שייך זכות, אבל בנזקין, כמו משרה לירק, כיוון שבעל המשרה יש זכות בזה להחזיק המשרה, אף שמזקת לירק, וכיוון שיחזיק וזכה בזה, הווי כמו חזקת השמישים, דמהן מחזקה. Now I actually got something, I actually obtained something, similar to חזקת השמישים, I got something from you, which I actually acquired, because of that, says Eben Ezer, it's not similar to קרקסותי להיפטר. That is the answer of Eben Ezel. Eben Ezel, as we all know, is Reb Isel Zalman Meltzer, one of the great rabbis of Yerushalayim, Rosh Yeshivas Etz Chaim, and he was previously in Lita, in Slutsk, I think, and tremendous, tremendous Talmid Chacham, one of the Gedolei Hador, 100 years ago, something like that, more or less. I think 80 years ago, maybe?
First part of the
century. Okay. That is Eben Ezel. The Ktsot, he gives an answer which I'm not 100% sure that it's different from what source number 4 says, Rabbi Aaron Kotler. The Ktsot says that in general, in Nizke Shcheinim, so it's not only Nezakim, only damages, it's also about obtaining a certain right. I hope I'm not saying now by accident Rav Aaron Kotler, but maybe it's not an accident because maybe what the Rav Aaron is saying is actually the Ktsot. The Ktsot says that although you have this thing that one neighbor is damaging the other neighbor in his kishchenim, but we do see in certain cases that if one neighbor came before the other neighbor, even if he's damaging the later neighbor, since he came before, he was zocha to do this thing. So even though this could be a way of damaging, but we see that you're allowed to damage if you came beforehand. So he says that the chiddush here in the Mechila of Chezkas Nezikin is that although I didn't come beforehand, it is as if I came beforehand. You allowing me to do this, it's not a Mechila for this particular damage that you had, but no, it's actually allowing me, giving me this right, giving me this title that I came here before you. And that gives me a lot of rights to do it in my land. He gives an example of the tree, the tree, the pit. That's a Mishnah and Kafei Amud Bet, that it depends who came first, the tree or the pit. And he says that even according to Tosfot, that it doesn't help us all the time if you come earlier, but that's only when I just came without asking you, I came earlier. But here you gave me the permission, so once you give me the permission, I have this zchus. I have this right. It is if I came here beforehand, and since I came here beforehand, I have additional rights as opposed to you as a neighbor. So one might argue, I don't really understand. Are you actually damaging your neighbor if you're carrying on at damaging your neighbor? If you're doing here a regular nezik to your neighbor, so you're still doing nezikin to your neighbor, so he could still say, okay, I had enough. I gave you the right until now. I allowed you to harm me until now, but I want it to stop. You see here, again, back to the first shir of Rav Turchiner, the Shechenim concept, that it's not hardcore nezikin, but it's actually the question of Shechenim, and once you came here earlier, so this form of nezik is no longer a nezik in the laws of Shechenim. And that is actually the words of Rav Aaron Kotler in source number 4. He says, "Ein perusha mechila shehanizak mochel v'noten lamazik reshut laziko." I'm not giving you permission to harm me. V'iskim bezel lasevel laziko, and I don't care to be damaged. This ever die have a kikak suti v'poter. If this was hardcore nizikim, so you're right, it's exactly like kikak suti v'poter. Ela biura mechila hu shemochel lo kol dina haharchaka. The kol dino lechayev hamazik beharchaka hu mitzad. The fact that I could tell you, that I have the right to tell you, listen, man, in your property, don't do this and this. Wait a second, this is your property. Your entire claim is one big contradiction. In your property, don't do this and this. It means that as a neighbor, you have some kind of zchus, have some kind of right in the property of your neighbor. And you can tell him what to do in his property. Davsha, you can tell him, don't walk, I need to walk over there. I need your land for certain purposes. I need certain things from your land. So, but now that I'm saying to you, I don't care that you're harming me, means I'm moichel the zchus. You actually owe me something from your property, and when I tell you, you know what? You don't owe me anything more from your property. I don't have any rights in your property. You're moichel the right. In that case, it could work, the mechila. Because again, I'm not allowing you just to harm me. I'm actually bringing back to you your rights that you had maybe initially in your property. Once you had a neighbor, there is this now conflict of nizkei shcheinim, and now I had some rights in your property, and now moichel the rights. There's no more zchus of shcheinim. So because of that, it'll be okay. וזה שפיר מהנה מחילה, כמו בכל זכות העלמה. ומצד מחילה זו, שפיר פתור מהחכה גם אחר כך. אתם מאחלת בשביל השמיכה, מחל הנזק עצם הזכות שיש לו למזיק, הרי הווה כאילו אין למזיק שכנים שעבורם תתמי זכות השמישה ושלו. בדומה ממש לקדמי של הפקר. He brings this, he's alluding back to the Ramah that we learned regarding Davshad. This is like a person who came, when I am mochel, it is as if I don't exist, and you're now building your house without any neighbors around you. So you have full zchuyot. You have all the zchuyot possible the person could have in the property without taking in mind any shcheinim at all. I'm moichel the shcheinim concept. Rabbi Moshe Weiss, in his shiur on YouTube. Actually, let's say Kol Lashon. It's more kosher than YouTube. So shiur on Kol Lashon. Kol Lashon. So he says there that. He doesn't mention Rabban Kotler. I think he wants to say it in the words of the Ksot, and he brings proof from the Rashba. In the source 5, I brought here two quotes that I think he's alluding to that. He says the Rashba in Kaf Gimel and Rashba in Kaf Chet. I didn't see any written shir about it, but he says the Rashba in Kaf Gimel and Kaf Chet. So he defines the relationship between two neighbors as a shiabudim. He says that, if you see the words here, it says, "Eino ela ke'en shiabud, mechilat shiabudim, ma shenas krav kotlo, yacholu limchol, she'en zikotan karka, ela kemochel al shiabudim." That, what is a shibud? A shibud means that you owe me something, and so either you're going to pay me, or the shibud, the mashkin, whatever it is, I can take what you owe me from there. So meaning that I don't own anything in my neighbor's property. But what do I have in his property? I have this monetary right called shibud. I have a certain shibud in your land. I don't own anything, but I have certain mamonos rights in your land. And like every shibud that person has, when there's a debt, I can be mochel the debt. I can just say, I forgive you for the debt, you don't owe me any more money, or I'm mochel the shibud, and this thing is no longer has any connection to me. So he says the same thing will be, in order to answer the question, that how is it that I cannot do things in my land when it harms you? Because you have a shibud in my land. Once you forgive it, you're mochel, so there's no more shibud, I can do whatever I want in my land. That's the idea of Chezkat Nezikin. The only problem is with bringing proof from the Rashba is that the Rashba is also discussing Chezkat Tashmishin. He's bringing the example of Nas Korad Kotop. I'm using your wall and putting a stick on your wall. I definitely don't have any shibud in your wall. But I decide to come and use your property and try to obtain Sugav Chezkat Nezikin to place a ladder on your wall. There is no shibud. You don't owe me anything. So how does it work over there? I don't know. So maybe regarding Chazken and Sikin, it makes sense. Because again, I mean, you're saying I can't do things in my property because you have a shibud in my property. But Chazkat Tashmishin, there's a shibud. So I mean, it's a good analogy, but I don't know how it works, how it makes sense in Chazkat Tashmishin. But in the end of the day, just to summarize the question and the answers, the question that we saw is, even if we have this thing called Chizkat Nezikin that could carry on harming you, wait a second, there's another thing which is called Krak Sutiri Pater, that I'm allowing you to harm me, but I can stop you. Why is it that I can't stop you here? So I think the idea that emerges from both Ktsot and definitely the Rabban Kotler is that since this is not hardcore Nezik, this is just allowing, it's just forgiving and giving up my zchut as a neighbor to stop you doing things in your property. I had this kind of zchut. Reb Osher wants to say that this is not only an ethical zchut, this is mamish a monetary zchut, a right that you have in your neighbor's land, and I just forgave it, and I don't think, and I hand it out to you, and that's why there's a chazkas nezikin. It's not out of nowhere you could carry on hurting me as much as you want. It is because of the shechinim issue. Everything clear? Hopefully. Okay, great. So, just an interesting example about Chizkas Tashmishin, Halacha B'maise. So, Reb Osher Weiss brings in his tshuva a very similar case. It's not elevators, but again, neighbors who are living, I assume, in Yerushalayim, and they live on the mountain, and they're using constantly the stairs of a building. From one level to the lower level. It was very, very kedai for him. And it's very important to mention that he's going to the Beis Midrash. Yeah, he's not going to the movies. He's going to the Beis Midrash. So he wants to learn as much Torah as possible. So can he do that? So he says, to end Ploni, shekivan sheze shanim shu ragil la'avor sham, zacha v'chizkas tashmishin. Since he's going to the Beis Midrash, he knows a thing or two, and he knows this concept of chizkas tashmishin, and he says, listen, I have chizkas tashmishin. Ve'en ve'adam kipar zchuto, ve'ra binyan to'anim lumato, ein ba'alicha shum chazaka, ve'lo yale adad shezar, she'lo gar binyan, yaseh bo kibatoch shelo. Excuse me, you have a chizkas tashmishin, so now you have some kind of ownership on our staircase, you have some kind of ownership, or maybe on our elevator. It can't be. Who is right? So in the beginning, he brings, Reb Osher, the Nesivis in source 7. So the Nesivis says a very big chiddush, and we have to try to understand how he says that, because it seems to contradict many examples. But he claims Chizkas Nezikin lo havi chazaka kiven shelo asa davar kavua de dami letzinor. In order to have Chizkat Tashmishin, not Nezikin Tashmishin, so you have to do something kavua in the property of your friend. It's not enough just to walk there. You have to actually manish, build something that will be there temporary. Not temporary, permanently. Yeah, it's the opposite. I mean, the atmosphere of Adar. So, wants to do something permanent in the land of his neighbor, only then you obtain Chizkat Nezikin. But doing things which are not permanent, so I should not even yell and protest against things which are not permanent. Okay, it happened now. It's going to be away. So that's what he claims in source number 7. ולא מצליחו חזקה רק בעשיית דבר קבוע. So Reb Osher Weiss, and I think he's right that it's not true. לא מצליחו חזקה רק בעשיית דבר קבוע. Only things which are permanent. So you see putting a ladder. You see putting your animals in the property of your neighbor. You see many things which are not permanent. You're not actually building something in the property of your neighbor. So it's not 100% true. Maybe we have to somehow spend some time in a different time understanding this Nesivis, but it doesn't seem to be 100% true. But if the Nesivis was right, so walking in the building of someone, it's not permanent. So in that case, there isn't any chazaka. So maybe this guy who's going to the Midrash is wrong. So, says Moshe Weiss, he is wrong, but not because of the Nesivis. He says he is wrong and he doesn't have any chazakah to carry on walking through the staircase of his neighbors. But not because of the Nesivus. As we said, the Nesivus doesn't seem to hold water because you have many examples of things which are not permanent and still have a chazakah. But he says, I'll give you two reasons why I think that there isn't a chazakah in that case. He says, He says, "Shani hamanat behemot v'hamanat sulam v'chaser chaveru." The derech bala chaser lakpid masim ele u'medeshatak al kochoch achule machal. Aba b'drisat regel be'alma derech chadam adagot ena derech lakpid al hayachid. He says, "If we claim that person obtains a chazaka because I didn't protest, that there are certain things that people protest about, and there are certain things that people don't protest about. If I'll see someone coming in with his animals and placing his cows and I don't know, his horses and ponies inside of the lobby of my building, wait a second, that is extremely weird. What are you doing here? That is something which is supposed to cause me to protest. But I see this guy just walking in my yard and hoping that he'll go away, and I decide, you know what, I'm not going to ask what he's doing here. Hopefully he'll go away. So that's it. He has a chazaka. Now you can walk in my yard as much as you want. It can't be. It's not something that I'm supposed to protest about. I'm expecting this thing will go away. I'm expecting that this thing won't do much damage, harm. So I won't protest against it. But walking, something that doesn't have to provoke me to protest against it. So he says, it could be that many years, we didn't care. Now we care. In the beginning, it was only you. Now people are learning from you. Now this disturbs us. Yeah?
Yeah.
I think that you have to say that also to explain the Nesivus. The example that he brings about Lishpoch Mayim Bachatzer, about pouring water in the land, so it's not just doing it once with your hands, washing your hands. He says it has to be Mamish building a pipe. So he does bring this example of Mamish building and constructing something. But I think you're right, because again, so once a neighbor came, washed his hands above my land. Should I fight with him? No. Be happy. Okay, he did it. He won't do it again. But he can't get a chazakah from it. So I say it is some place in between. But I think that's the right direction. So again, so Reb Asher says that you have to have things that actually provoke you to protest. Another thing he says, another chiluk, another reason why there isn't a chazakah. He says, "Ad kan lo matzinu chizkat hashmishin, ela bein shchenim shebederech klal mekirim zeh." He says the entire concept of chizkas tashmishin, chizkas nezikin, are in the laws of shchenim. Shchenim are neighbors, not people in the shchuna, in their neighborhood. People actually live one beside the other, and they know each other. They're friends, or if not friends, they are acquaintances. They know each other. So in that case, okay, maybe I'm giving you, person that I know, a certain right. But this guy that I've never seen in my life, and he's walking in my staircase, why should I give it to him? Am I handing out gifts for the entire world? Of course not. He says, a person gets a right when it makes sense, they actually know you, and they actually give you something. But just to give you rights in my land, when I don't even know who you are, you just happen to walk, this complete stranger walking in my circus, I didn't say anything once, here you go, you can now use my circus as much as you want, doesn't make any sense. It has to be shchenim, actually, that you know each other, and you're willingly giving him a certain right. It cannot be just a complete stranger. That's his claims. Because of those two reasons, he says that even if for many years this particular neighbor was going through your building in order to get to Beit HaMidrash and learn about Chizkas Nezikin Teshmishin, nevertheless, he does not have any Chizkas Nezikin Teshmishin because I shouldn't have yelled about every single thing that happens in my building. It's not such an extreme thing. And of course, I won't now allow this to many people that don't even know who they are. So I think that you, obviously from this case, you could definitely learn regarding the case of the elevator in Truman 45, that in that case, it's also kind of expensive.
First of all, it's a cost of money because people are using more of the elevator, so you have to more maintenance. And also, you have only one, we had two elevators in the building. So when you're coming, so other people are maybe waiting or stuck, the staircase is there. I mean, it's not, you have enough room for everyone. But here, you might be taking away from me time and things like that. Of course, you don't get any chazakah whatsoever using my elevator, no matter how many years you used it. Okay? So that's the answer about that question. Let's go back to our sugya and see a few halachas that emerge from our sugya, and I think that could also help us regarding the questions that I raised. So I heard this chavrusa here that immediately after they read the story about the Moskowitzes and what is that, the Friedmans? Yeah, Friedmans and the Moskowitzes. So this is maybe similar to the case of our Gemara. So let's see if in fact it is similar. I'm just going to read out the Gemara once again for those who maybe don't remember the Gemara. The Gemara says in source number 8, Rav Yosef Havale Hanu Tali Dehavu Atu Umne V'yat V'tutayu. He had these trees, and then the blood letters sat in a certain place, and because of the blood that he had on them, Atu Olve Achlu Dama V'salke Abitale Umafsidi Tamri. And because of that, the birds came, the ravens, I think is Orev. They came and they were near the blood, and then they came to the fruit and they ruined the fruit. Amarlo Rav Yosef apikule kur kur mehacha. Take away the birds who are doing the sound of kur kur. That's the sound that they're doing. So take them away. So the Gemara asks, "What about the grama? This is the only grama. You see from here that grama benizik in asur. But he has a chazaka. They came here and ate lunch every single day. So they carry on doing that." The concept that they don't have a chazaka for nezikin are only very unique types of damages, unique types of nezikin, like kutra, like smoke, and as he says, like smell of a washroom, of besikise. Marley, Hani le didi danine datai ki kutra ubeit kise damali. So I am kind of an istinus, and me, for some reason, we'll see exactly what is the reason here that is actually causing him to be disgusted or harmed. Ki kutra ubeit kise damali. Whatever is happening here, it's like kutra ubeit kise. It's like smoke. It's like the smell of the washroom. Since I won't be addressing the concept of smoke, of smell, so I just brought in the footnote, the definition of smell. What is the level of smell which is a problem? So it says, Minchas Yitzchak, it has to be a very, very terrible smell, that because of that smell, you cannot say Kriyat Shema next to it. It has to be, he's discussing a case that there was a slaughterhouse, near a shul. So he says, since very bad smells and odors are coming from the slaughterhouse, So in that case, that will be a subject to the damage of nizkei reach. So I didn't see anything clear about us really trying to find a tshuva about it this week. Let's say someone opens a store of falafel, or he opens a bakery. And it might be nice for the first few days to smell the fresh baked bread, but after a short time, I've had it. I just can't smell anymore. It's annoying me. It's driving me nuts, and I'm even getting sick from smelling this. Does he have a claim or not? I mean, on the one hand, he could definitely say Kriyat Shema against it, near it, because it's not a bad odor. But he's just already fed up with it. He can't smell the smell anymore. So I didn't find anything clear about it. For some reason, everyone who spoke about these cases immediately spoke about opening businesses inside the neighborhood. So again, the mavoi, the chaser, the noise, not necessarily about that. So I didn't get a clear picture about that. But the definition, according to Minchas Yitzchak, it's a bad odor, and because of that, you can't say Kriyat Shema near it. Okay, that's regarding the odors. So, the birds and the blood. So, what is the damage here exactly? Is it the birds that are coming? Is it the blood? What is the thing which is actually disturbing me? So Tosfot, he actually, it seems that he's actually raising a question that he said, Rav Yosef said, "Apiku kulku meacha." Take away the kulku. Kulku are
the code word for birds. Take away the birds. The birds here are disturbing me. And then the Gemara says, "Anine daite," and I'm this kind of istinus, which actually seems to convey the problem here is not the birds, rather the problem here is the blood or the dirt that is coming from them, it's the blood and the trees and the fruit. So yes, the problem here is because of the birds, not because of the blood. So he gives two answers. But daim lo hayu orvim hayas sovel afal gav danina daite. So in answer number one, he says that there's a combination here. A combination here of both the blood and the orvim. If it was only the blood, I wouldn't mind. But now that you have your also the ravens coming, so because of them, I can't stand what's happening here. So it seems to be some kind of thing together that you are bringing both birds and there's also blood. The combination of these two are just impossible. It just can't be with these two things. Inami, a different answer he brings, ha'orvim ayu ochlim hadam, uporchim umekenchim aperot. The damage was the dirt, the blood, the filth that they were bringing. But who were bringing the blood? If the blood is over there, I don't mind. Who's bringing the blood into my property? The birds. So why did he say, take away the birds? Because they're bringing the blood. But the damage here, the nezik here, is not the noise or the presence of the bird, but the fact that the birds are bringing the blood. So again, there's some kind of connection between the birds and the blood, but it's not only the birds. The Rambam, on the other hand, he brings both. Rambam verse 10, he says, "Mi shichzik la'asot melacha melechet dam o nevelot v'chayotze b'hem b'mkomam v'avo ha'orvim v'chayotze b'hem v'gal adam v'yochlu v'harei mesirim l'chavero b'kolam v'tzivtzufam." That the problem is now that birds are coming, and forget about blood and things like that. Because of you, the birds are coming, and they're harming me with their kol v'tzivtzuf. They're making a lot of noise. They're disturbing me. Oh, but dam shebaglem, or they're doing something else. The blood in their feet of these birds are coming. Shem shvim alei lenot umelachlechim perotayim. Ime achavero kapadam ochole shetzivsuf ze maziko or sheporosha nifsedim lo badam chayav vatel otam lacha. So he gives two examples. He says both of them are true. Not like Tosfot. He says you have damage number one, the birds. You have damage number two, the blood. Either damage is a good claim to say, please stop bringing the birds here. Lecha Mishneh tries to understand how does this fit the Gemara, Anine Daitai. He says, you know what, it could be that also the idea of Istinis, Anin Dat, is also regarding noise, which is actually true, because we did see the definition of Choyle regarding noise, and we said that nowadays all of us are considered to be cholim or istanisim because of noise. So that gets to make sense. He says that it could be that the Rambam understood the Gemara also that it can fit anine daitai either because of the blood or because of the noise. But either way, it is okay. But anyway, what we learn from here, and the Shavlo Paskins like the Rambam, is that anything that brings birds, no matter what kind of damage they do, it is noise, it is the filth of the trees. No matter what, these things are good claims for you to tell them to go away. So I saw in an article of the Kol Dayanos of Yeshivat Mitzpe Yericho. It's a yeshiva in Israel. And they said, according to this Gemara, they think that every single thing that could bring birds is a good claim to prevent them from doing a certain thing. So, of course, if you put food for birds and they're coming because of the food, of course, you could tell your neighbor, stop putting food for the birds because now birds are coming. They say also, if now you have some kind, you put something which allows them to come, which is a convenient place for them to rest or sit or whatever, so that is also a thing that I could ask you to stop doing. Yeah, so let's say you just put out the engine of the air conditioner, and now there's a nice place for the birds to land. There's no food, so because of that, that could be enough of a claim, they say, to prevent them from putting the air conditioner. One might suggest and say it's not similar at all, because The blood is actually the food of the birds, and that is actively persuading them to come. I mean, I assume that they're smelling the blood, they're smelling the food of the birds, and now they're coming for the blood. So that can be different, as opposed to, listen, there's a place here which is actually convenient for the birds. It's not the same thing. It's not something which actively attracts them. If the birds are around, so they want to rest on the station, on the engine of the air conditioner. But not necessarily, so it's not necessarily the same thing, but however, the Kol Dayonus of Vispericho thought that it is the same thing. So, I think in the case of my neighbors, it would be right for at least for those who put out the engine of the air conditioner to put traps or spikes, whatever, that will prevent the birds from coming. At least that. Since I was in between the neighbors, that often told me their claims. So the person who put the air conditioner said that still there are many birds coming around, and they could also be up on the top in his floor and that, and that doesn't seem to bother them. So they don't care about this certain type of filth. No, I don't know. This is closer. I don't think this allows them to do anything.
And allows them to have sit-down chazak. Yeah.
I mean, are there any, how far out of your room you don't get approval from the person below you? Because, like, I know that, like, that is a thing you don't have to do. Like, if you want to...
Listen, we're dealing with the Wild West of Ramot. Yeah?
I mean,
Ramot... According to law, you're not allowed to station anything on the front of the building because you're ruining the chazut pnei habinyan. The building. You don't want to see a bunch of engines come out when you have clearly a place to hide them. A place called a mistol to hide this thing. So people here are not. According to law, it's no good, of course. But if this was without taking these things in consideration. Again, sorry.
When they build out over your yard, you lose your...
Yeah.
I think so.
Absolutely. Some want to say that in certain places, the minhag of the place is to take out the engine because of that. You do lose your rights, but this is... The Wild West of Nebrach. That's really something totally crazy. But I don't think so. Okay, so again, so back to the story of Friedman's and Moskowitz's. I don't remember who is who, but those who are claiming that you're dirtying my yard, so I think they're absolutely right. Now, I never told them my opinion in Israel, so I hope they don't listen to Y.U. Torah. They're actually... One of them are definitely English speakers, and the other ones are also very, very intelligent. So I think those are the capable of understanding. So, now back to smoke, the barbecue of the man family. So, regarding smoke, there's a very basic machlokas. We said that smoke doesn't have a chazaka. What kind of smoke doesn't have chazaka? So the machlokas Rishonim, Tosfot on the spot, says in source 16, Nireh l'ri, davka bekutra de kivshan, shu gadol, umazik beoter, ein chazaka. This is not regular smoke. This is smoke coming out of a furnace. This is a large amount of smoke, and it's extremely, extremely harmful. So in that kind of smoke, there isn't a chazaka. It's both a large amount and harmful. No chazaka. However, the ritva, and I think this is the majority of posting, because this is also halach lemaise, no, it doesn't have to be this crazy amount of smoke and harmful. It has to be tadir, frequent. Yesh mefarshim esh shel kivshonot, tadir. V'chem perushim perushami shelam ruele ba'ashan tadir. Umired ni'u nired, ha'ashan kivshan lav davka, elu odin ha'ashan bait, imu tadir. It's not only if you have the smoke going out of a furnace, it is the question is how frequent the smoke is coming. And even if it's the smoke coming, emerging from a house, still, it's not industrial smoke, but it's frequent, it's annoying, it's damaging. Please stop producing this smoke. Now, halacha lemaise, shochno paskin zashan shamru davka bashan tadir. He's not holding that it has to be an extreme amount of smoke and poisonous and deadly and harmful like Tosfot. The fact that it is frequent, that is a problem. And now there's a very basic machlokas between Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. What happens with Ashan? She'eino tadir. So if, let's say, you're frequently doing something, everyone agrees, this is something that can protest, and you can never obtain a chazakah. But let's say you have now smoke once in a while, and I want to protest even against that smoke. I mean, if you'll have a chazakah, you'll have a chazakah. Everyone agrees that if you have this small amount of smoke, which is not frequent, you'll have a chazakah. But can I protest to begin with? Which actually reminds us, the machlokas also regarding noise, that the Shulchan Aruch said, I can protest also against every single noise that comes from your house, even the smallest amount. But the Ramah says, only after a chazakah, I cannot do that. But the Ramah says, in case of noise, that no, I can do it in my house, whatever I want. You don't have any right to protest, even the chatchila. The same thing also is with smoke. Says the Shulchan Aruch, mi lechatchila, matzi me'akev, afilu be'ashan, shit not adir. Small amount of smoke, not frequent. You happen to open a cigarette once in a year, which is still not good. And then I come here, hey, stop, what are you doing? I can really stop you. But the Rama says, no. If the smoke is not frequent, you don't have any right to protest against me. I could have smoke coming from my yard every once in a while, and you cannot protest. Halacha lemaise, machlokes. As usual, Be'eretev brings it, the Shach says, the halacha is like the Mechaber, like the Shulchan Aruch. Pesachei Teshuva brings Rav Kiviger, says the halacha is like the Ramah. It's interesting, Pesachei Teshuva. But we won't get into it. So again, ordinary smoke. It's not major smoke, not frequent, not coming, not necessarily dangerous. Still, according to Shulchan Aruch, I can protest in advance and stop you from doing so. So there is a very famous tshuva of Igros Moshe, which is actually has nothing to do with Shechinim, but he brings all kind of the Shechinim concepts. Because here he's discussing a person who is sitting in the Beis Midrash and smoking. In early times in yeshivas, so people were smoking in the Beis Midrash. In Chevron Yeshiva during my time, you were allowed to smoke in yeshiva after midnight. And then the Beis Midrash was the most packed in all of the day. It was after midnight. But I left during that time. I woke earlier. No. I hope the Rosh Hashiva has listened to Wayu Torah. So Igros Moshe says that in the case, can a person smoke in the base midrash when it's harming and disturbing others? So he says, absolutely. Matzino shebishvil ez tzar mekpeda veist disut be'alma. That even incidents, you have this spoiled person saying, listen, I don't like this, so you have to take his protest in consideration. But it says, this is not spoiled people. This is not istinus. These are serious things. This is harmful. This is very terrible. Ask Reb Chaim Metzger. He has a whole series about it. These things are very, very bad to smoke. And it's a very bad thing. And it's very dangerous. Because of that, of course, there is no permission. If one person says, please don't smoke in the Beis Midrash, he has the right to do so. And he says, and also the case of istinus is also a case of grama. Right? Our sugya is a case of grama. A person is working as a bloodletter, and he's sitting in his own property, according to Tosfot. And because of that, birds are coming and damaging his. This is at most a grama for his people. And nevertheless, he has the right to protest. Kal vachomer, he says, in our case, this is not istinus. This is actually mikir adin. This is real nezik, and it's also mazik biadaim. Me smoking in your face is mazik biadaim. This, of course, is a thing that you can protest against. But again, I don't think this even has anything to do with shchemin, because we're discussing here the communal base midrash. So it's like you're smoking in my house. I have the same right as you have inside this base midrash. But Pitzchi Choshen, he says that you should expand this prohibition, not only in a communal area that belongs to several people together, but also in your private home. If your neighbor comes knocking on your door saying, please, you don't smoke because I smell this, or the smoke is coming to my house, I can protest. Ein afkamina, I see in source 22. Ein afkamina. Even if you're doing it in a place that you have the right to be there, all these cases, Yachol HaKevarav. Sorry, I was supposed to read the first three words. Yachol HaKevarav. You could protest. You could prevent him from doing this thing because this thing is damaging me. So again, so you learn. So smoke, one could suggest, it is a nezik she'eino tadir. According to Shulchan Aruch, I could protest to begin with. So if you're smoking daily, this could be a nezik tadir because it's frequently. And even if it's once in a while, once a year, a person wants to take out his occasional cigar. So this will be the chokas between Shulchan Aruch and Ramah when it's a small amount of smoke and it's in not a deal. So barbecues, I find it hard to believe. Again, I'm no gag because I like the barbecuing, but even when we were doing it frequently, it was, let's say, once a week for Shabbos. I used to grill a few things for Shabbos. But even then, it was at most, I think, once a week. Not more than that. So is that considered to be tadir? I don't know. You guys will have to decide. I can't pass about it because I'm clearly no gea. But no neighbor ever protests against my barbecuing. So, Baruch Hashem, I'm good in that aspect at least.
Isn't it all that because of the danger of the smoke? As in, one of them is purely, you know, annoying smoke, versus, let's say, because in the cigarette case, it's potentially actively harmful.
Sorry for my ignorance. Is it more harmful than the barbecue?
Barbecue smoke is not proven to cause cancer or any other terrible reactions to those who inhale it.
Really? Smoke in general is not? No, it's not dangerous?
Not as bad as
it is. Nowhere near as bad. Probably like in the levels of, like if you're a little, like, smoke can be, you know, can make you cough a bit, but like long-term damage.
Well, I see that smoke that comes inside people's lungs is dangerous and is considered to be...
The degree of danger is like orders of magnitude different.
So this is something that the Beis Din should take in consideration, how much they think this thing is harmful. Since we have only 3.5 minutes left, so I'll just give you a few more points. There's a very interesting article, if you want to see, in Tchumin Lamedaled by Dayan Rav Daniel Katz. He actually was one of those who wrote the tests of my Dayanut test. We were kind of upset with him because we thought it was a bit unfair, but he's a good guy in Baruch Hashem. He has a great reputation. So he discusses, where is it? Yeah, he discusses, can people protest against factories in cities? And does the city have the obligation to close factories and place them other places because it's harming other people? He's also discussing radiation damage. So he brings more or less a lot of the things that we brought. He brings the noise, he brings shchenim, machakas nezikin. So he concludes, you see his conclusion in source 29, ברור שאם יוכח שהקרינה הסלולרית, the cellular radiation, מהווה סכנת חיים, אפילו לחלק קטן מהאוכלוסייה, אין מקום להתיר הקמת אתרים סלולריים כלל. If we know that this thing is a clear danger for people, even for the small amount of people of the population, this is enough of a claim to not allow them to open a place, an antenna, for cellular devices. If it's a bit dangerous, but not so much dangerous, it's not lethal, if it causes us, we don't feel so comfortable near it, or a bit of a danger, of a health hazard, אז יש התחשב בכך שקיום האתרים הסולריים נחוץ לפרסת הרבים ולקיום החברה. Since this is something which is actually necessary, so again, as usual, we'll have to balance between the damages that this thing does as opposed to the benefits that it brings to society. You have now more jobs and more workplaces. No, so people need to have a cellular reception in order to use the phone for their daily life. So we have to take this thing in consideration. But if this is definitely killing people, so this is enough of a reason to tell them to put away these things. One last thing that I have to bring, because I promised my friend that I'm going to bring it. Shoot Besod Siach, a terrific book, which was written by a friend of mine, Rav Shabta Yogel from Ranana, and he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and I spoke with him this week, told him that I'm going to speak about smoke and things like that. So he says, oh, I have a tshuva about it. So he brings this is a Chosh Mishpat and Shabbos and Yeridah question, that his neighbor is always doing a barbecue. So and it's disturbing me, the barbecue that he's doing. But maybe I could suggest him, he will buy, not even, maybe even I will buy for him. I'll buy for him a fan and the fan will get rid of the smoke. So that way, there won't be any problem. Very good. But his occasional barbecue is always on Shabbos. So can I participate or suggest this idea or ask him to do this thing, knowing that he's going to barbecue on Shabbos and they're going to press the button on Shabbos? But I buy him a timer. That's so simple. There aren't any timers in Ra'anana. So he claims that he compares this to the sugya of Lifnei Evel. He brings the famous it's Micha Shlomo and also Maril Diskin. Let's say I claim that you owe me money. I know that you owe me money. So no, I don't owe you anything. So I bring you to base. I also bring an ed echod. I bring one ed that says yes, you owe him money. So what do you need to do? You need to swear. You have to say a shvua about it. Wait a second. Maybe I cannot ask you to swear because I now marshal you with shvua shav because I know you're going to lie. So maybe I cannot do that. The poskim say that when you are actually using your rights, you don't care what the other people are doing. You're now using your right, your legal right, to bring him to Beis Din and ask him to give you a shvua. Even if he's deciding now to give a shvua sheker, you don't care because you're actually using your rights. It says the same thing here. You're using your right to ask him to get rid of the smoke, so you shouldn't care that he's going to press the button on Shabbos. I think differently because you're actually giving this option. You're initiating this idea of the fan. As if you want to, if you really have a right, bring it to Beis Din and it won't barbecue at all. You don't have this right. So in that case, you don't have the right to ask for the fan. So we had this conversation on WhatsApp, but we get in conclusion, you could decide yourself. Good Shabbos, everybody. Pleasure.